making her feel good. I transferred the moisture back to my cock and continued to jerk myself, this time harder. I beat myself hard and pushed myself to the bridge of an orgasm. I didn't want to come in my hand, but I wanted to bring myself right to the edge. The saltiness of pussy was smeared across my lips and tasted magnificent. I'd never had pussy that tasted so sweet. Before I came, I rose on my knees again and pointed my cock at her tits. I gave myself a few more pumps before I exploded all over her, spraying my seed across those beautiful boobs. The white globs dripped down toward her stomach, sliding down from their weight. I admired my handiwork as I recovered from the orgasm that shook my core. I didn't even fuck her, but it felt like I did. I licked my lips and still tasted her on my tongue. This was something I would definitely beat off to later, next time I was in the mood. I ran my fingers through my hair, then grabbed the towel Tristan's men left for me. I cleaned myself up, then tossed the towel on the bed next to her so she could clean up my cum that still dripped toward her belly button. I pulled on my clothes and felt the exhaustion. I could fall asleep in that bed with her right now. To my surprise, I wasn't even thinking about the money I was going to make off this deal with Tristan. Completely satisfied, I wasn't thinking about anything. I sat at the edge of the bed and realized my stupidity. How could she clean herself up if she was still chained to the headboard? I grabbed the towel and did the honors for her. It was the least I could do since I used her like a toy rather than a human being. She watched me the entire time, her brown eyes not as guarded as they were at dinner. I tossed the towel on the ground when I was finished, then ran my hand through my hair. Now that I was finished, I didn't know what to say about her. Should I thank her? And this wasn't any different than the other slaves I slept with. All I had to do was walk out and go back to my life like this never happened. So that's what I did. I pulled on my shoes and headed to the door.
Wait.
Her beautiful voice stopped me in my tracks. I loved the way it sounded on my ears, hearing a command from her. Even beaten and defeated, she was still one of the sexiest things I'd ever seen. She was a woman who belonged to another man, but I didn't see her that way. I turned around. She tapped the edge of the bed with her foot, asking me to return. I contemplated the request before I sat beside her. And just because I came didn't mean I wouldn't fuck her again. I could definitely get my sail up for that.
It's Kane, right?
I nodded and stared at my hands. You want me to stay so you can have a few more minutes of freedom? Because she was dragging out my presence to keep the other guys out. As long as I was in there, they wouldn't come for her, they wouldn't punch her and objectify her. I was evil, but I was definitely a better alternative to them.
Help me.
I turned to her with both eyebrows raised. Of all the things I expected her to say, that wasn't one of them. Help you.
Yes.
She pulled on the chains and positioned her back against the headboard. Her knees were to her chest, hiding most of her nakedness from view. Her thighs were probably sticking to her stomach from my cum.
Buy me from Tristan.
I'm pretty sure I could never afford you. Tristan's obsession with his slave was obvious. He would be an idiot not to be enamored by her soft qualities. When I saw her in the airport, I made a move without thinking twice about it. There was something about her that drove me wild. I probably would have fucked her if she were any other woman. Something about those brown eyes made me stop.
I know you're rich.
And how do you know that?
You wouldn't be making a deal with Tristan unless you had money.
Her voice was a little deeper than the average woman, but I liked it. It was innately sexy and powerful.
And you aren't like the rest of them.
I'm just like them, actually. I committed crimes every single day. I did a lot of horrible things that had reserved my spot in hell a long time ago. But worse. She shook her head like she didn't believe me.
Please get me out of here.
My cock started to harden in my jeans again. I liked hearing her beg. I fantasized about it in a different context. Why should I help you? I had more important things to do than help a slave.
Because you aren't evil.
I just ate out your pussy and came all over you, and you don't think I'm evil? Her brown eyes hardened like she was reliving a distant memory, a painful experience that she struggled to internalize.
Trust me, that's not evil.
Now I wondered what else they did to her because I came by the house. I knew Tristan was into violent tendencies. The sight of blood was a real turn-on for him. Judging by all the cuts and bruises on her body, he made her bleed several times.
Buy me.
Like I said, I can't afford you. Tristan wouldn't put her up for sale. She was a prized possession. Maybe in 6 months, when her soul had been completely crushed and her body began to fail, he would consider selling her off for a decent price, but by then, no one would want her. I definitely wouldn't want his leftovers then. And I'm not going to steal you.
No, you can't do that,
she whispered. I wasn't sure what that meant. Maybe she assumed I wouldn't be able to pull off a stunt like that. I was certain I could, but I definitely didn't have the motivation to piss off one of my clients for a beautiful woman. I liked pussy as much as the next guy, but not enough to affect my business. I had nothing else to say to her. I'd gotten what I came here for, so I stood up.
Kane, please.
She whispered so no one could hear outside the door.
You're the only remotely humane man I've met. Please don't leave me here. Please buy me.
I sat back down again, intrigued that a slave wanted to be resold to another dictator. If you were my slave, your conditions wouldn't be much better than this. The grass is always greener on the other side.
You aren't like them.
She couldn't be more wrong. You don't know me, sweetheart, and you don't want to get to know me. Her elbows hung next to her face, her slender arms rising above her head. The discolored scars were purple and sometimes yellow. One long cut stretched her underarm to her elbow. There was even a line of stitches down her forearm. She'd obviously been strongly abused, but somehow found the strength to remain rational. She didn't break down in tears or shut down. She still had fire inside her.
You could have raped me, but you didn't. You're the first man to hesitate at the word no. You saw the fear in my eyes and backed off. I know a compassionate man when I see one because it's so rare. Maybe you're a criminal. And a murderer. Maybe you deserve to be in jail for all the crimes you've committed. But I can say, without a doubt, life with you would be much more bearable than where I am now.
I would be lying if I said the idea of having her as a slave didn't arouse me. I pictured her dressed in lingerie all the time, walking around the house with goosebumps along her body from the cold. She would wait on me, prepare my meals, and clean up after me. When I wanted her to suck my cock, I'd command her to get on her knees, and she would obey. And the fact that she would be grateful to have me as a master just made her ownership even better. But that fantasy would never come to pass. I'm leaving now. Take care.
Kane, please.
Her voice rose in pitch as she let the desperation take over.
I'll give you anything you want if you help me.
I grabbed the door handle and turned around. You have nothing to give, sweetheart. You're a slave. Your life will be much easier if you don't forget that. The rage burned in her eyes, insulted by the comment because it was true. There was no denying it. It didn't matter what she used to be in her former life. Maybe she was a teacher, maybe she was a florist. Maybe she did volunteer work and helped those less fortunate than her. But none of that mattered. Now she was just a slave. She didn't even have a name.
Chapter 5. Crow.
I pulled up to the house and handed my car over to the valet. My phone was still blank because Kane hadn't contacted me since his meeting with Tristan the night before. A part of me worried something went wrong. Kane was a pain in the ass on a personal level, but when it came to business, he was always on his game. I walked inside and handed my jacket over to Lars.
Good afternoon, Your Grace.
He folded the jacket nicely over his arm, even though he was going to drop it off at the dry cleaners anyway.
Is there anything I can get you before dinner?
No. Mrs. Barsetti and I will be eating dinner on the patio this evening. It was a beautiful day in Tuscany. The sun was bright on a cloudless day, and the heat had soaked into the Italian dirt. Once the sun set past the hillside, the breeze would rustle through the olive trees and make the white candles flicker on the table. The gentle glow would light up Button's soft features, particularly those beautiful eyes I was so fond of.
Of course. Any preferences?
I trust your expertise. I walked up to the third floor and checked my phone again, expecting Kane to call me at any moment. I was a very paranoid man after everything I'd lived through. Once something was out of the ordinary, it was difficult for me to ignore it. Before speaking to Button, I walked into my office and called him. Kane answered on the second ring.
Hey. Everything all right?
I poured a glass of scotch and sat behind my desk.
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
You didn't call me last night. I didn't hide my annoyance or my accusation. It was unlike him not to check in with me.
Does that mean you're worried about me?
He teased.
Pearl swears you have a soft side. Maybe she was right.
His teasing nature assured me that he was perfectly all right. There weren't any problems with the deal. Calling me just slipped his mind. I only have a soft side for her, so don't expect to see it.
I wasn't counting on it.
So what happened? Kane immediately launched into business mode.
I told Tristan the price, and he said he needed 24 hours to think about it.
Our clients didn't waste our time like that. If they wanted our services, they knew they had to pay top dollar for it.
You think he's playing games? No, Tristan has always been good to us. I think there's something else going on.
Like? I sipped my scotch.
I don't know, but I'm staying at the hotel until I have dinner with him again.
The fire wasn't burning in the fireplace because Lars only lit it when I asked him to. Now that Pearl was my wife, I rarely came in here anymore. Most of the time I ended up doing paperwork in bed while she slept beside me.
Why didn't you call me? I left pretty late last night.
I suspected something was bothering him. I could feel his consternation over the phone.
You aren't telling me something. I had an encounter with one of his slaves. Can't stop thinking about her.
Kane couldn't resist a beautiful woman in any circumstance. I'd seen him pick up whores right in front of me. Sex was on his mind more often than money. He and I were the opposite in that way.
Gotta go? I fooled around with her, but I didn't fuck her. She's Tristan's woman. Who knows what she has?
Good point. Then why are you still thinking about her? Kane usually talked too much, not too little, but right now he didn't have much to say.
I'll call you after I speak with Tristan again. I'm sure he'll agree to the terms. He didn't try to negotiate.
Because Barsettis don't negotiate. Kane hung up. I downed the rest of my glass before I left my office and walked into the bedroom. My dark furniture had been replaced with a lighter wood color. Now there were vases of flowers everywhere and new paintings on the walls. The bedside lamps were replaced and there was a picture frame of the two of us on our wedding day. I didn't care for the changes she made, but I didn't make a fuss about it. Didn't care enough to. Button? I loosened my tie as I walked inside. The bathroom door was open and she was nowhere to be seen. I scanned the room and noticed the handwritten note that sat on my nightstand next to the picture frame.
Husband, I went into town to do some shopping. I'll be back before dinner. Love, your wife.
Her tender use of husband and wife didn't dim my anger. She went on an adventure alone in a country she still knew nothing about, and she didn't have the courtesy to give me a heads up. She did it on purpose because she knew I would never let her go, and that just pissed me off more. I pulled up her tracker on my phone to see where she was. After a glance, I realized she was in Florence, the next major town close to my estate.
I zoomed in further and found her inside a clothing boutique. Did she really need clothes? I stormed back out and down the stairs. I didn't bother telling the valet to get my car ready. I was in too much of a hurry to wait for anything at the moment. It seemed like Lars knew exactly where I was at any given time because he stepped out of the kitchen like he expected me.
Your Grace, are you leaving?
Yes. I didn't break my stride or even look at him. I should be back within an hour.
Dinner is still on, then?
I may not have an appetite once I was through with Button, but she probably would. Yes. I got into my car and took off, heading down the lonely road and to Florence 30 minutes away. I yanked my tie off and tossed it into the passenger seat beside me and drove with one hand. I didn't call her because I wanted to catch her off guard, to prove to her that anyone could sneak up on her at any time. I made it into the city and left my car at the curb. Italians were off work and browsing the farmer's market down the cobblestone streets. The ancient buildings stood the test of time by towering high above the mortals. My life would pass in the blink of an eye, but those buildings had been around for thousands of years. I followed the tracker and turned down a small street lined with cafes, bookstores, and barbershops. A man with a thick beard passed with a fresh loaf of bread tucked under his arm, and another woman sat on a bench with two little boys that each had an ice cream cone. There didn't seem to be any danger anywhere, but those people were ignorant. I was a criminal, and I walked the streets just like everyone else. I was disguised by my expensive clothing and good looks. Women looked at me with interest, seeing me as intimidating in a sexy way, but they didn't know I was a very dangerous man. I walked into the clothing store and spotted her immediately. She was examining a sleeveless white dress that stopped above the knee. It was tight around the waist and flared out slightly. She paired it with a large floppy hat that would shield the sun. As furious as I was, she looked like she belonged there. She looked like one of us, blending in with her deep brown hair and bright red lips. I ignored the thickening of my cock and moved through the racks of clothing until I came behind her. She still hadn't noticed me, examining the price tag. She must have thought it was too expensive because she returned it to the rack. Now that I was right next to her, close enough to smell the hint of rose on her skin, it was hard for me to remain angry. My body flushed with heat when she was near, and I felt a dull pain in my heart. It wasn't from sadness, but adoration. Seeing her put that dress back made me want to buy her everything in the store.
Get it.
She flinched at the sound of my voice, recognizing me without even looking at me. She slowly turned away, her eyes dark with eyeshadow and mascara. She was in dark jeans and a purple halter top, showing her rounded shoulders and beautiful sun-kissed skin.
It's too expensive.
Nothing is too expensive for you.
I grabbed the dress without looking at the price tag.
Get whatever you want, Button.
She knew exactly why I was there, but she didn't show any anger. I abandoned my fury once I looked at her, and she did the same once I encouraged her to buy something she wanted.
Are you sure?
Yes. I had more money than I could spend in a lifetime. Half of everything I owned belonged to her. She could buy any damn thing she wanted. I wanted her to spend my money, our money. I'll be outside. She came out with a bag stuffed with new clothes. I was glad she took my words to heart, and she treated herself to whatever she wanted. She joined me on the bench along the sidewalk, where I had a great view of the cobblestone streets. Cars weren't allowed in the area, so it was just people passing. I stared straight ahead and didn't look at her. She crossed her legs and enjoyed the quiet companionship between us. Perhaps she didn't want to say anything because it would begin the conversation she was trying to avoid. She wasn't the kind of woman to shy away from anything, not even me.
You can't expect me to be cooped up in that house all day.
Yes, I can.
That wasn't a tactful way to approach the conversation, but I always led with my anger.
And I will.
Would you want to be cooped up in the house all day?
She countered. The estate is pretty big, lots of stuff for you to do. She rolled her eyes dramatically.
I don't feel bad for going out, so don't bother.
It's not safe, Button. With just one look at you, people know you're American. You're an easy target. Tourists were always the ones who were hit the hardest. Locals knew they weren't familiar with the area and took advantage of their ignorance.
He's dead.
I knew exactly who she was referring to, and I appreciated that she didn't mention him by name.
Now I want to go out and live my life. I want to enjoy my surroundings. I've been here for almost 2 years, and I haven't done any sightseeing. Do you know how absurd that is?
You want to go sightseeing? I'll take you.
That's not the point, Crow.
And if you want some clothes or something from town, Lars can pick it up for you.
Again, that's not what I want. If I want to get out and do something, I will.
You don't know the area. I'm not even sure how you drove here.
With two legs and a brain,
she snapped.
I'm a lot more capable than you give me credit for.
I knew exactly how strong she was. She'd suffered more than I had, but she still held her head high. I admired her more than anyone else in the world, but I didn't want her to suffer anymore. All I wanted was a happy life for her. Button, I know how strong you are. That's never been the issue. I watched an elderly man pass with a cane. He still held hands with his wife, who looked to be about the same age. Old and faded, they were approaching the end of their time together. That's what I wanted with Pearl, to grow old with her. I don't want anyone to ever take you away from me. I lost many people, and it was agonizing. When I thought I lost Pearl, I was a mess. I did my best to convince myself she didn't mean anything to me, that she was expendable, but the more I pushed her away, the more I realized I couldn't live without her. Now she was my wife, the other half of me. If I lost her, it would be different than it was with my parents and Vanessa. It would be a million times worse. Button snaked her hand through my arm and cuddled close to me on the bench. Her chest pressed into my arm and her face rested on my shoulder. Her hair gently grazed my neck like a soft rose petal.
I'm not going anywhere, Crow. There's nothing that can come between us now.
Even if I left the business entirely, I still had enemies in different places. The price on my head was still high, and my bank account made me a primary target. My past couldn't be erased, and blood would always be spilled. I would never be safe, so I couldn't take my guard down. If someone took my life, then there would be no one to look after Button. I was everything to her. What would she do without me? You never know when things can change. I need to be careful. We need to be careful.
I know, Crow. But we have to live our lives, too. I was a prisoner for what felt like an eternity. Trust me, there's no point in living if you can't be free. I need to feel free.
She spoke into my shoulder, her lips moving against the fabric of my shirt. I understood her point of view. Truly, I did, but my life was complicated. I'll never be free, Button. I was born into a blood war. The Barsetti name is both worshipped and tainted. I'll never walk the world without looking over my shoulder. You and I will never truly be free. That's something we both have to live with, because you're a Barsetti. She leaned away so she could look me in the eye.
I'm proud to be a Barsetti, but I need more.
That's all I can give you. If I could give her the world, I would, but that was one thing my fingertips couldn't reach. If there's something you want to see, I'll take you. If there's something you want to do, I'll make it happen, but we have to strategically plan every move, otherwise we can take a wrong turn. I know this is hard for you to understand, but this is the only life I've ever known. One wrong move, and you're dead. A handful of hair fell from behind her ear, then repositioned itself around her face. Despite her abuse, she looked like someone who never lifted a finger. She was poised and graceful like a queen, with flawless skin that was healthy and vibrant. When she painted her lips that color, her teeth looked even whiter. Her eyes looked bigger, seductive when she did them that way.
Okay.
Okay what? I eyed her lips, wanting them pressed against mine in a heated embrace. Sometimes, when I looked at her mouth, I just wanted it wrapped around my cock. but right now I just wanted to kiss her. I wanted to make love to my wife, to take the time to really feel her lips. Both pairs.
I'll be more cautious.
She wasn't even Italian, and she was a very stubborn woman. For her to make that gesture, no matter how small and vague it was, significant. So I would take it with gratitude. Can I take you to dinner?
I'm sure Lars has something cooking.
We can have that for lunch tomorrow. There's this great place around the corner I think you'll like.
Oh, are we going on a date?
I stopped resisting the temptation of her lips and just kissed her. Yes, and I want to make love to you when we get home.
Chapter 6 Cain.
I returned to Tristan's fortress and moved through security measures just as I did last time. They patted me down and made sure I wasn't packing anywhere unseen. The routine was unnecessary since I'd been doing business with Tristan for years. I joined him in the dining room and was relieved dinner wasn't about to be served. All I wanted was my money so I could get the hell out and return home. The second I was in the house, I thought about his slave. She was nowhere in sight, so she was probably chained up somewhere. I wouldn't allow myself to think about those tits, about that luscious pussy. If I let my thoughts get carried away, I'd have a boner in a room full of dudes. Have you considered my offer, Tristan? I didn't play games when it came to business. I asked for a specific number for a very specific reason. There was no negotiation for my products. That wasn't how I ran the show, and my clients showed me respect by not trying to talk me down.
I have.
He crossed his legs and rested his hands on his lap.
Your price is fair. However, I can only give you half.
If you can only give me half, then you get half of the product. The average cost for each item didn't rise or fall. I wasn't tight on cash, so I didn't need to make a deal. Crow and I expected luxury prices for luxury items.
How about I give you half now and see also half later? You know I'm good for it.
If you're good for it, why don't you have the money now? Why make a big purchase if you can't finance it? That was bankruptcy 101.
I put a lot of money into a project and expect a return on that investment in 31 days. At the moment, I'm low on funds, but the investment was worth it. I will have made a killing and have no regrets. But I do need the weapons now. Can we work something out?
Tristan was a man of his word, but that wasn't enough. If I make this deal for you, I'll have to do it for others, so I can't let that happen. Tristan nodded like he'd been expecting that answer.
Is there something I can give you for collateral that would make it fair?
Do you have anything that valuable? He would have to have enough jewelry to fill an entire store to cover the remaining balance.
It depends on your interpretation of value.
I smirked. That doesn't sound good. Tristan snapped his fingers at one of his cronies.
Bring her in here.
My heart raced when I imagined who he was referring to. I hadn't stopped thinking about her since I left. Instead of picking up a woman last night, I went to the hotel and jerked off to the memory of her incredible pussy. Tristan's man guided a blonde woman into the chair across from me. Blonde hair, big tits, and flawless skin. She looked like she'd been snatched from a pageant. She didn't wear any scars like the other woman, but she was just as terrified. She couldn't stop shaking, and she wouldn't meet my gaze or Tristan's. I eyed him and waited for an explanation.
She was on a modeling gig from America when she was taken. I bought her for $1 million at the gentleman's auction. She's a Belgian. It's been proven. As a thank you for giving me an extra 31 days to gather the second half of the payment, I'll give up to you. Do whatever you want with her.
The woman began to breathe heavily as the tears burned in her eyes. She started to shake violently just before she turned hysterical. Her tears turned into sobs that echoed in the dining room.
Shut it, Tristan hissed, or I'll break your ribs.
She silenced her cries but wouldn't stop shaking. Tristan turned back to me.
We have a deal?
She was beautiful, but I didn't find her attractive. She was scared and weak. Nothing like that other woman. She didn't hold herself with respect, despite her station. There was nothing unique about her. Her eyes were blue and her hair was blonde like every other model in the world. She didn't do anything for me. I don't want her. Tristan placed the back of his fingertips against her arm, then slowly moved up to her shoulder. She shivered at his touch like his fingers were made of ice. When they reached her shoulder, they moved across her body to her tits. He gripped her breast through the bra and gave it a firm squeeze.
You don't want her?
I probably would if I hadn't had the other first. I want the woman I had last night. I didn't think it through before I made my request. I can tell you find her valuable. I hadn't stopped thinking about her, and her request kept playing in my mind. She wanted to be with me rather than be trapped with Tristan. I would enjoy fucking her for 31 days. I'd make every single day count. Tristan leaned back in his chair and narrowed his eyes like he'd been insulted.
My woman?
I nodded. He tilted his head slightly like he still couldn't believe it.
That's a pretty bold request.
You're asking me to make an exception for you. That's pretty bold. If he wanted me to give up my prized weaponry with only half the deposit, then he better offer me something incredible in return. I didn't want this voluptuous blonde. I wanted that beautiful brunette with the pussy that tasted like ice cream. He grabbed his wine and took a drink. His features contorted in anger. He took his time drinking, stalling before he gave an answer. The blonde began to breathe normally again, relieved I wanted someone else instead of her. Little did she know, she just lost out on a great deal. He finally set the glass down.
No, she's off limits.
Then we don't have a deal. I rose from the chair. When you get the second half of the payment, we'll talk. I finished off my scotch before I walked away from the table. I wasn't a fan of this deal anyway. The only reason why I considered it in the first place was from the prospect of having that woman again. Without her, I didn't have any interest in making it work.
Hold on.
Tristan rose from his chair, his hand still resting on the surface of his wine glass.
There has to be something else we can agree to. I'll give you two women.
I turned back around and searched his beady black eyes. I don't want two women. I only want one woman. His obsession borderlined my own. I had only been with her once, hadn't even fucked her, and I still needed her again. I understood his resistance. Unless you have something else. There was nothing he could possibly own that would rival the cost of the shipment. Even if he had a boat, that still wouldn't come close. If he really wanted to make this deal work, he'd have to give in. He finished off the rest of his wine before he threw it against the wall. It shattered loudly before the pieces sprinkled on the floor. The blonde woman nearly jumped into the air at the sound.
All right, Kane. I'll meet your demand. But I have one condition.
I'm listening.
I won't give her to you, but I'll loan her. Once I pay the second half, she's mine again.
I knew that was Tristan's best offer. He would let me walk away from the deal if I didn't take it. I wasn't going to let her slip through my fingers, so I shook his hand. Deal.
Chapter 7. Adelina.
Up.
Tristan walked into my bedroom where I was chained by the ankle to the metal bedpost. In the short time I'd been a prisoner, my treatment had been anything but humane. I always had a chain around one of my limbs as I remained locked in my bedroom all day while Tristan worked. I didn't get any food, and if I had to pee, I had to hold it all day. And if I couldn't, I had to pee on the bed, which I slept on. My life was a nightmare. I hadn't been here for a week, but I already had forgotten what freedom felt like. I couldn't remember the way the warm sun felt on my face first thing in the morning. I couldn't remember the breeze through my hair. I'd just gotten to Greece with Lizzie when our taxi had been hijacked, and sacks were pulled over our faces. My life was savagely taken from me on my first trip from home. I wanted to die. How did I keep going? Would I ever make it out of there? Not only was I raped dozens of times, but I'd been beaten like a dog that wouldn't listen. I'd been kicked in the ribs, punched in the face, and stomped on like a rug. I didn't have a name anymore. I wasn't a person anymore. I wasn't human. I'd always pictured how I would lose my virginity. It was with a man I loved, and it was beautiful. But my first time was savage. He shoved himself inside me hard, broke my hymen, and then fucked me while I choked back my sobs. Tristan stared me down. I said, up. Do you not see the chain wrapped around my ankle? Every time I was a smartass, I got punched in the face. But at this point, I was immune to pain, so whatever. He grabbed my ankle and dragged me to the edge of the bed. Instead of a hard punch, he backhanded me across the cheek. My skin immediately burned, and I knew there would be a handprint for the rest of the day. I didn't make a sound. He liked knowing when I was hurt, so I did my best to hide it. He took away my freedom, so I would take away the intensity of his orgasms. He unlocked the metal chain from my foot, and I hid my relief. My skin was calloused and bruised from the constant constriction. It was impossible to get comfortable when the metal was always digging into my skin. The only time it was removed was when he came to fuck me. And every time, I felt sick. For the last time, up. He slapped me in the center of the face, hitting me right in the nose and the eyes. My eyes smarted and my nose stung painfully, but I still didn't release a grunt. I moved off the bed and got to my feet, feeling weak from not eating a real meal in 4 days. My body was beginning to go into shock because I was severely dehydrated. A migraine had settled in my skull since I arrived. Good girl, listen up. He grabbed me by the throat even though it was unnecessary. I pushed his hand off. You have my attention. You don't need to grab me. Here it comes. This time, he punched me right in the face. My nose bled, and the blood dripped into my mouth. He grabbed me by the neck again. I'm loaning you to a friend for 31 days. Pull any stunts, and that will be the end of your friend Lizzie. I had no way of knowing if he was telling the truth. Lizzie could have already been sold off to a psychopath. Or worse, she could already be dead. But if I didn't cooperate, she was guaranteed to lose her life. He held that over my head extensively, making me behave like an obedient animal. I know. Try to run, and I'll torture her first. It wasn't the first time he'd told me that. Who are you giving me to? Without warning, he punched me hard in the stomach. The air left my body, and I fell to the floor, too weak to hold myself up. Slaves don't ask questions. He grabbed me by the hair and dragged me across the hardwood floor. I screamed and tried to get up so the pain would subside from my skull, but he moved too quickly. Chunks of hair came loose as he continued to tug on my hair like it was reins on a horse. He finally let me go once I was in the center of the entryway. In just my panties, I was naked for all of his men to see. Some of them had taken turns fucking me, so we were acquainted. Up. I didn't test him this time. I got to my feet, feeling shaky. My hair was in my face, so I couldn't see in front of me. But I preferred it that way. I wanted to stick my head in the sand and pretend none of this was happening. I pretended I was at home. I'll see you in 31 days, Kane, Tristan said. Kane? I pulled my hair from my face and looked at the man who was just here last night. With deep eyes that looked equally kind and horrifying, he stood tall in a black t-shirt. I'd seen him naked, every inch of his masculinity. He was different from the others because he was good-looking. He had a nice jaw, strong eyes, and a 5 o'clock shadow that never seemed to fade. He was the tallest one at over 6 feet. He was the only man I'd encountered who had been somewhat nice to me, so I viewed him in a different way from the others. He was the only one who understood the meaning of no. He claimed he wasn't a good man, and that was probably true, but I hoped he wasn't as evil as they were. I wondered why Tristan was loaning me to someone else when he just got me a few days ago. He fucked me around the clock, coming into my bedroom during his breaks at work. He was obsessed with me, even though he had an odd way of showing it. I want her in the same condition as she is now. No broken bones. He pushed me forward so I would get closer to Kane. One of his men bound my wrists together with rope, even though it was clear I couldn't escape. Even if I got away, I couldn't live with myself for leaving Lizzie behind. I could go to the police and tell them everything I knew, but by then, it would be too late. These guys were masterminds of the underworld. They introduced me to a world I'd been blissfully blind to. Got it. Kane removed his black blazer to reveal his muscular physique in a tight black t-shirt. He placed the thick fabric over my shoulders and wrapped me in the clothing, keeping my nakedness from the prying eyes of the sick perverts around me. It was the first time that someone offered me clothes, that someone treated me like a human rather than an animal. I wanted to cry at the gesture because it meant so much to me. It was a jacket, something I would have taken for granted in my former life. But now that jacket was a life vest in freezing waters.
Get my money, Tristan.
Kane placed his hands on my shoulders and guided me to the front door.
I know you're good for it, but you better not prove me wrong.
He guided me outside the front doors and to the sunlight that hit my face. I stopped in my tracks and closed my eyes, wanting to weep at the feeling I'd missed so much. If I kept my eyes closed, I truly felt free. The air smelled like fresh flowers from a field, and I could recognize the salt from the sea air. Just an instant of joy, but it was everything. Kane grabbed me by the elbow.
Move.
The harshness of his voice brought me back to reality. I wasn't free at all, but being loaned out to a man who had a business deal with Tristan. Tristan said I was to be returned in 31 days. In 31 days, I would be back in that hellhole. Kane continued to touch me even though I didn't need his guidance. I could see the car right in front of us, and there was nowhere for me to run, unless I jumped off the cliff and into the ocean. And even if I did, I would forfeit my best friend's life. Don't touch me. I freed myself and kept 3 feet between us, my hands gripping the jacket like it was the nicest thing I'd ever had. I would trade everything in my bank account just to feel covered like this. I didn't have any shoes, but the jacket was long enough to cover my ass and the backs of my thighs. Kane watched me coldly, no longer looking different from the other men. His green eyes weren't innocent, and his clenched jaw hid his irritation. He easily could have grabbed me by the back of the neck and threw me to the ground, but he didn't. It actually made him seem like a good guy. He got to the car first and opened the passenger door for me. The windows were tinted completely black, so no one would see me inside once the doors were locked. Similar to a shadow blocking out the sun, He stood there like a black cloud. I didn't glance back at the house where I'd been held captive. I didn't want to look at Tristan's face ever again. That strong, crooked nose and the rest of his ugly face. Sweat would drip from his forehead and splatter on my face when he fucked me, like I was a prostitute in a brothel. My nightmare had been short-lived, but I was seriously screwed up in the head now. If I ever escaped, I would need a serious amount of therapy to set me straight. I got into the passenger seat and relished the sound of the closing door. Finally, I was out of Tristan's reach. He couldn't shove his cock down my throat and force me to swallow his cum as he pointed a loaded gun to my forehead. He couldn't stab me with a butter knife as he forced me to watch him have dinner while I starved. Kane was a criminal, but he was a much better alternative to the psychopath I left behind. Kane got into the car and started the engine. It roared to life and vibrated with power. When he pulled out a knife from the center console, I flinched in fear. He grabbed my shoulder and jerked me forward before he slit the rope that bound my hands. Like he didn't just push me around, he released me and shoved the knife back inside the console. I didn't look out the window. I just wanted him to drive, to get me the hell out of there. I tightened my arms over my chest and tried not to shiver. A flood of tears burned behind my eyes because I was relieved to leave that nightmare behind. I was scared of where I was going, but I was more scared to stay behind. I refused to let my tears fall in front of Kane. I quickly learned that men love to watch me hurt. They love to see me suffer and beg for mercy. It got them hard in their genes. So I kept all the rage packed deep inside my chest. Kane finally hit the gas and drove away. Thank God. I positioned my body and looked out the window, seeing the beautiful Mediterranean that I always wished I could witness. Now I was looking at it as a slave. My safety belt wasn't on because I didn't care about my safety. If Kane smashed into a building and killed us both, I'd consider us to be lucky. Damn lucky. We walked into the hotel room where he'd been staying. Judging by his suitcase in the corner and the t-shirt that hung over the back of the chair, he'd been there for a few days. It was a nice place, definitely luxurious and expensive. I knew he was wealthy. I could tell just by the way he moved. Once I became a prisoner, I'd learned to watch people for clues to their behaviors. It was a survivor strategy that I quickly picked up on.
Get cleaned up.
He walked to the desk and took a seat. His silver Mac sat on the surface, so he opened it and hit the mouse pad with his fingers so the screen would light up.
I'll take care of the airline tickets.
I suspected he'd want to fuck me the second we were behind closed doors, but he hardly looked twice at me, like I was nothing to him. I didn't get too excited about that. He wouldn't have traded for me if I didn't have some use to him. I hadn't showered since the day that sack was pulled over my head, and I was suffocated. I felt dirty in more ways than one, and the idea of a shower made chills run up my spine. Thank you. He was just about to type something when he turned his head to look at me. With an unreadable expression, his features looked like they were carved out of stone. I realized what I said and just how ridiculous it was. I'd lowered myself to a despicable level, being grateful for the opportunity to bathe like a normal human being. It was something I never should have said, and I wished I could take it back the moment I said it. Kane continued to stare at me, his gaze cold and expressionless. I didn't subject myself to the look any longer and stepped inside the bathroom. I got under the warm water and closed my eyes, finally washing away all the dirt and oil that accumulated under my fingernails and in the hair on my scalp. And I washed away the biggest filth of all, Tristan's remains. I scrubbed my skin hard with a sponge, removing all evidence that I'd been touched against my will. But no matter how hard I rubbed, I couldn't remove the scars and bruises that were now a part of my anatomy. Most of my bruises were purple and blue, and sometimes there was a hint of yellow around the edges. The cuts were scabbed over, except the ones that were constantly reopened by Tristan's hand and pocket knife. I dried off and blow-dried my hair. The second my strands were clean, they felt 5 times lighter than before. I ran my fingers through my hair and looked at my sunken face. I hadn't been in captivity long, and I already felt thinner. I was so hungry. I'd gotten to the point where I was so hungry, I wasn't even hungry anymore. My stomach constantly growled until it began to cramp up. Sometimes I couldn't sleep because I was so uncomfortable. But that was nothing compared to being punched in the face, then fucked in the ass. I enjoyed my solitude in the bathroom as long as possible, before I had to face my new owner. He may be handsome with a softer side, a complete contrast to Tristan, but I wasn't stupid. He was dangerous. Get out here. He must have known I was purposely avoiding him because I was taking so long.
Don't make me ask you twice.
He had a deeper voice than Tristan did. Even though he didn't carry a weapon, it seemed like he possessed more power than the other men. After all, Tristan needed him for something. Kane didn't need him for anything. He could just take his merchandise to another buyer. I took a deep breath before I opened the door, suspecting Kane would want to fuck me now that I was clean. All I had to do was close off my mind and forget what he was doing to my body. If I just remained calm and thought about something else, like the sound of my favorite music or the waves of the ocean, I could get through it. I stepped out in the bathrobe I found because I had nothing else to wear. My underwear was days old, and his blazer now rested over the back of his chair. I sat down on the edge of the bed, and that's when I noticed the room service sitting at the desk. The smell of French fries filled the air. My stomach rumbled in response. Kane left the desk and pulled out the chair.
Eat, sweetheart.
Don't call me that, I snapped. It didn't matter how hungry I was. I didn't want to hear him talk to me like he owned me. I didn't want him to be sweet to me like he was a good person. Kane glared at me.
Would you rather me call you a slave? A bitch? Just shut up and eat.
He walked to the window and placed his hands in his pockets.
You're welcome, by the way.
I didn't move for the food, despite my hunger. You let me shower and eat, and that makes you a good person? He shook his head as he looked out the window.
I'm definitely not a good person, sweetheart. You'll see what I mean soon enough. I suggest you eat. Who knows when you'll get your next chance?
I'd tested out the waters, and so far, they were pretty murky. Kane's true colors hadn't come to the surface yet. I took up his offer and sat at the desk. I smelled the cheeseburger and fries, then stuffed myself. I ate quicker than I ever had, stuffing my face and feeling my stomach ache in joy once it was full of greasy, fattening food.
Damn, this is so good.
I wasn't saying that to Kane. It just slipped out because I didn't care if I was talking to myself. I wiped my plate clean, eating every single crumb until only a pool of leftover ketchup sat in the corner. As embarrassing as it sounded, I was tempted to lick it away. I managed to put the plate to the side and wipe my oily fingers on a napkin. Now I wanted to sleep, to recuperate from the week of hell. Kane tossed a plastic bag on the desk.
Some clothes. Put them on. We're leaving.
Do you ever say a full sentence? He spoke like a caveman, conveying his thoughts in the fewest words possible. It frustrated me when it shouldn't. This man just put a full meal in my stomach, but I was in the mood to bite the hand that fed me.
Interesting. I thought you would be in a better mood now that you're full. I guess I'll keep you hungry then.
He grabbed his laptop and shoved it into his bag before he pulled it over his shoulder. I took a look inside and found underwear, jeans, and a t-shirt. Kane stopped right in front of me, staring me down with irritation.
Get your ass dressed, or I'll make you. What's it gonna be?
I didn't want to push him any further for fear of what he might do. I didn't want to get naked in front of him, not when I had some of my rights left. So I went into the bathroom and changed. Once I did, I stared at myself in the mirror and couldn't believe how normal I looked. I touched my face and felt the soft skin now that I'd scrubbed down. I didn't look like a woman who'd been tortured and beaten. I didn't look like someone who'd been raped dozens of times. I didn't look like a slave. I looked like me.
Chapter 8. Kane.
Don't run. The taxi pulled up to the terminal. She sat beside me in the back seat, silent like she should be. If you do, trust me, you'll regret it. I'd beat the living shit out of her if she made me. I wasn't about to get arrested and sent to prison for harboring a victim. Not only would it jeopardize my life, but as well as my business. Once you went to prison, no one trusted you anymore. No one knew if you carried a wire for the cops.
I'm not going to run.
Unlike before, she spoke in a bored voice. Now that we were outside the airport, she flipped the switch. She possessed a fire, a vicious attitude just 30 minutes ago. Now she was passive, acting exactly like a slave. I was surprised she was so accommodating, especially after the treatment she just endured. I expected her to scream at the top of her lungs until someone helped her. Honestly, I respected her less for not trying. I could never respect someone who gave up. There was security and cameras everywhere in the airport. There was no better place in the world to make a run for it. I was outnumbered with nowhere to hide. If I ever had a wife someday, I would tell her to scream bloody murder if anyone ever grabbed her. We walked into the airport and checked in at security. We made it all the way to the terminal, but she didn't make a peep. She stared out the enormous window and watched our plane be prepared for takeoff. Now that she was clean with a fresh pair of clothes, she looked exquisite. I tried not to stare at her. I was eager to have her in my bed, alone in my house where I could do whatever I wanted. This time I didn't want just to eat her pussy and come all over her tits. I wanted to stick my huge cock inside her and have her in whatever way I wanted. I wanted to get my money's worth from Tristan's deal. I wanted to conquer this beautiful woman and make her completely mine. When we boarded the plane, she was just as passive. It was a direct contradiction to her personality. She gave me lip when I fed her and allowed her to shower, but when it really mattered, she didn't stand up for herself. I spotted at least 3 different escape routes, and it didn't seem like she even considered taking one. What was wrong with her? We took our seats and were in the air within minutes. She sat absolutely still and stared at the seat in front of her. They were playing a Disney movie, and she watched it without the sound on. Since I was always paranoid about the unexpected, I kept my eyes peeled and my ears open. This woman seemed harmless, but when it came to someone's need to survive, there was no such thing as harmless. When I met Pearl, she stabbed me without thinking twice about it. The thought of my sister-in-law brought on the guilt for what I was doing. I loved her and hated everything she endured. What I did was unforgivable, but she forgave me because she loved my brother so much. That was the first time I'd ever seen a true instance of love. It made me wonder if there was hope for all of us out there. But now I had my own slave.